Welcome to the Calvary Chapel South Bay Sermon Podcast. We are a large, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church in Los Angeles, California, and we'd love to have you visit us for a service if you're in the LA area. Visit ccsouthbay.org to learn more about us and to find out service times. If you have any questions, shoot us an email at hello@ccsouthbay.org. Enjoy today's sermon, and we hope to see you at church soon.
Father, again, we just want to stop and we want to thank you. Lord, even as we are all, most of us, reminded of what's going on in our world, and as your word would encourage us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to pray for the nation of Israel, Lord, we do pray for the peace there and all that's going on. Would you give wisdom and understanding, Lord, to those who are in control and reading? But Lord, as we think about these things, we know what your word tells us. And as we see these things, Jesus, you said, man, don't be shaken by this. Know that your redemption is drawing near when you see these things going on in the world around us. So Lord, especially this morning, we want to put our eyes on you and pray and ask that you would speak and minister. And Lord, as we open your word, as we dive into these things here, God, again, I really do believe that there's a word you have for each and every one of us that you want to minister to our hearts. So, Lord, would you use your word to do that? And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I asked you to open up to Joshua chapter 3, but I'm going to share one verse out of John chapter 10, verse 10. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I've come that you guys, all of us, we may have life and yet have it more abundantly. Abundant life. It's what Jesus promised for each and every one of us. It's life that are abundant, life that's abundant, or life that's beyond measure. It's like you can actually just say, whatever you can think about life might be, it's beyond that. That's the kind of life that is promised to us. That's the kind of life that I know for me, I desire to have, that life beyond measure. But I find, maybe like you do too, that I don't always experience that. I'm not always experiencing that abundant life. I'm not always the victorious Christian in my walk. I'm not the overcomer, but I'm overcome. I'm not the victor, but I turn into the victim. And yet one of the problems is, I think, it's for myself and I know for others, is we actually think that salvation is the end, and yet salvation is not the end. Salvation is just the beginning. Listen, when we look at the children of Israel and what they went through, their salvation experience, they were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves to Pharaoh. They cried out to the Lord and God delivered them. He heard their cry and delivered them from their bondage. You know, they have the 10 plagues and the last plague was they took the lamb. They took the lamb. They killed the lamb. They took the blood of that lamb. They put it on the doorpost of their house. And that night, the angel of death went through the whole nation of Egypt. And everywhere he saw the blood, he passed over that house. That house did not experience death. And yet it is such a picture of what Jesus Christ has done for you and what he has done for me. When we allow the blood of Jesus Christ to be upon the doorpost of our hearts, the angel of death comes, but he passes over and we don't, in a sense, experience death. Now, this physical body, its body of corruption will one day fall over and that this body will die, but my soul, my spirit will live forever and ever with the Lord. And yet, as we look at them, we see that, you know, they had the angel of death went by, they crossed through the Red Sea, they were delivered, no longer in bondage, no longer slaves, but that was just the beginning. Now it's time for them to enter into the promised land. But listen, for the children of Israel, they did not believe that God was able to destroy the enemy. And because of fear, they end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Moses finally dies. And now Joshua is asked to bring them in to the promised land. And we're going to learn some lessons from the book of Joshua in a sense of how really to have and experience that abundant life, to be that victorious Christian. And we're going to see that in Joshua chapter 3, the Lord is going to ask the children of Israel by faith to believe that he is a God who wants to do the impossible. He's a God who wants to do wonders among them. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. Again, I love this. Early, early in the morning. Listen, I really do believe that really good things happen early in the morning. Just like I used to share with my kids. My daughter's here today. Hi, Michelle. Have a wave. Anyways, I love that. In fact, her husband's a pastor, so she's kind of playing hooky at her church, and she's here now. But anyways, like I used to tell them all the time, we lived on a small island, and nothing good happens late at night, you know, and they would always say, but we want to go out. Like, no, nothing good is going to happen there. But it tells us early in the morning. It said of Jesus there in Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daybreak, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. People, listen, if Jesus needed to get away and spend time with the Father, so much so that he would get up a long while before daylight, don't you think we need to spend time with him as well? Listen, it used to be said in this pulpit, like in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s all the time when Pastor Steve was here, you will never rise higher than your personal devotional time. But unfortunately, a lot of us actually never rise at all, unfortunately. David said in Psalms 5, my voice you will hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you and will look up. Hey, Saints of Calvary Chapel, South Bay, it doesn't matter, morning, noon, evening, whenever it is that works for you, stop and spending time with the Lord. Spend time with him. David said in Psalms 55, evening, morning, and noon, I will pray and cry aloud. But just make sure that we're spending time with him. Pastor Chet talked about this this last week when he was talking about having morning devotions, how he said, man, I get to have breakfast with Jesus every single morning and how enjoyable it is. And for us people, again, we get to have time. We get to have breakfast with Jesus every single morning if we will sit and spend time with him. Listen, there's Bible apps out there for free. You can go on and it'll even give you the through the Bible in a year and stuff. But you know, and I know a lot of people, they try to read through the Bible in a year and they get really frustrated with it and stuff. But hey, you can go out to the Welcome Center out there on the wall. There's this little thing called the Daily Bread. In that little Daily Bread, it gives you a little Bible verse and a thought for today. Listen, you put it on your toilet, you read it while you're doing your business, and in God, let God speak to your heart. Let his word get into you, because if his word gets into you, his word will go through you. Let God do that work that he wants to do, because he wants to do that work in each and every one of our hearts. But again, we have to allow that word to get into us. But it tells us there that they came to the Jordan. They came to the Jordan. Have you ever been on a very long journey and you're kind of traveling and you just can't wait till you get to the end of the journey? You think it's almost going to be over in a sense. A couple years ago, I drove my mom to Colorado for a graduation for a niece. And as we went there, went to the graduation, but then my mom says, okay, I want to go home. I need to get home and stuff. And so we're kind of beelining it back from Colorado, you know, going to the 70, then you get on the 15, and you're going down, you finally go through Vegas, and then it's been 12 hours of driving. And then you come up and over that last little pass, you come down into the LA area, and you know what happened? We saw taillights. Red ones and lots of them. And it's all just traffic. And we want to get home, but there's something between us and home. And yet for the children of Israel, this is 40 years that they've been traveling, 40 years in the making. And yet they finally are there standing at the shores of the Jordan River, so close, but there is something between them and the promised land. There's something between them and the other side. It's called the Jordan River. And we're going to consider the Jordan River and what it meant to the children of Israel. First, I want to say it does not represent what some of the old hymns say, that we finally get to heaven. Because on the other side of the Jordan, listen, there's an enemy. There's giants. There's hornets. There are battles to be fought. And that doesn't sound like the heaven that described in the scriptures, where there's rest and joy, pleasures ever no more, no more tears, no more sorrow. But I believe that the Jordan River is going to represent God wanting to do something miraculous in the hearts of his people. We'll come back to that. But continuing on in verse 2, it says, "So it was after 3 days, the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it.'" When you see, listen, for 40 years, the Lord God was directing and guiding the nation Israel. How was he doing that? Well, there was a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And when they saw the cloud sitting there rising down, they knew, okay, we're good. But when they saw the cloud go up and start moving, then they packed up and they followed this cloud until it stopped again for 40 years. This is how the Lord was guiding and directing them. But now God is going to do a new thing. He's going to lead them in a different way. They're no longer to keep their eyes on the cloud, but now they're to put their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented the covenant that the Lord made with the children of Israel. Within the Ark was the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and the golden pot which had the manna. Listen, the Ark represented the presence, the promise, the power, the provision of God. And yet it tells us there, when you see the Ark, go after it. When you see the Ark, go after it. If you want the abundant life that's been promised, people, we need to go after it. In the book of Corinthians, it tells us as believers in Jesus that we are to desire, to seek, or to go after spirituals or the things of God. Listen, having worked with people who struggled with addiction for most of my Christian walk, man, I know when there are people who are into doing drugs, they look for where they could find the drugs out. When there are people who are, needing to, get alcohol and get drunk and stuff, they sought out places where they could do that. People that needed sex, they sought that out. But if you want to experience the presence, the promise, the power, the provision of God, there is a part that we play. We need to seek out to go after the things of the Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you. If you were reading through the Bible, you actually read that this morning there in the Gospel of Luke. But we're to seek, to knock, to search, to go after the things of God. Throughout the scripture, when it talks about our sanctification or being set apart to the Lord, we have a part that we play. We are asked by God to put off so that he can put on. We're asked by God, put off so he can put on. So oftentimes we want the putting on. Yes, God, I want you. I want your fruit of the Spirit. I want all this other stuff without doing what he's asked us to do. And it doesn't work that way. Like God says, no, put off so that I could put on. And then we wonder when we have not put off, while we're not experiencing that abundant life that the Lord has promised. And we settle. We oftentimes settle for so little what the world has to offer rather than what the Lord has to offer to us, his kids. The Bible says this. It says, the Lord opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. God wants to satisfy our hearts and our lives, but all too often, again, we turn away from what God offers to the things of this world, thinking that that's what's going to satisfy us. Man, don't seek or go after the things that will never satisfy. The Bible says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. But we are called to go after the things of God, desire the best gifts, go after those things. Put our eyes on him and go after him. And yet, I don't know, I've noticed, like even in my own life, oftentimes my eyes are on everything other than the Lord, everything other than what he is doing. In the Gospel of John chapter 5, it tells us Jesus was at Jerusalem at the time of the feast. And at the time of the feast, listen, if you're a good Jew, they have three feasts that you were required to be at in Jerusalem. So every time these feasts were going on, the population in Jerusalem just tripled or quadrupled because of all these people who would come in to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And there's this pool called Bethesda. And at this pool, they had this thing that at certain times of the year, an angel of the Lord would come and he would like shake up the water. And the first person that was there who got into the pool, they were healed. Now think about this. There's people, all these people coming to Jerusalem. And if you had somebody, a relative or somebody that was sick or diseased or something, man, I'm going to bring them and set them over by the pool of Bethesda because maybe the angel will still stir the water. And it was a tradition, but maybe the angel will stir the water and they can get in and they can get healed because they weren't healed. And yet it's this scene with hundreds of people all sitting there staring at the water. It was this scene that Jesus shows up into. And Jesus comes to a guy who was sitting there for 38 years. And I'm sure he was focused on the pool, as well as everyone else waiting for the stirring of the water. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well?" I kind of got a feeling that the guy never even looked at Jesus, but he did what we oftentimes do. He started making excuses for why God can't do a miracle or God can't do something miraculous. And he's making all these excuses going on and on and on. Then I believe he finally maybe looked at Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "Take up your bed and walk. Arise, take up your bed and walk." And I believe that guy just jumped up. Now think about this. Hundreds of people are sitting there. Their eyes are focused on what? On the pool of water. And standing in their midst is the one who can actually heal. And yet their eyes are not on him. But their eyes are on the issues or the problems or the other thing. And yet Jesus would say to us, "Hey, take up your bed and walk. Get your eyes on me. Put your eyes on me." Going on, it says there in verse 4, "Yet there should be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." You've not passed this way before. God is going to take you in a new direction. God is going to do something new within your heart and your life. God is always wanting to do something new with all of us. Revelation 21 says, "He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" He's the one who put a new song in our mouths. And we need to allow him to make new wine within our lives. And the Lord is leading us. And he wants us he wants to take us to a place that sometimes we have never been before. But I have found, like what Jesus said, we don't like change. We don't want the new wine. We like the old. And yet as I get older, I find I don't like change very much at all. And change is much more harder and stuff. And I don't know about you, but it's kind of like people tend to live oftentimes in the past. If you're part of Calvary Chapel and you go way, way, way back, like back in the late 60s and the 70s, they had this, their church was a tent. And it was a tent, and God was moving, and God was doing all this work. But oftentimes when you talk to people, it's always about, "Oh, I remember back in the tent days, man, how God was moving and how God was working." I was talking to a guy this last week, and he's like, "Yeah, I remember back when God was doing all these incredible things." And I'm thinking, yeah, but isn't God the same today, yesterday, and forever? And yes, he worked back then, but people, he wants to work today. He wants to work now. And I find that we can fall into that trap of being just settling in and just like, no, yeah, God worked and moved in my life years ago, but that was then. But what about now? Because are we experiencing the things that God has for us? Are we experiencing those things? But in this journey of life for each and every one of us, know that the Lord is always, we sang earlier, he is calling us to a deeper walk with him. Listen, I've been walking with the Lord for almost 50 years, and God has not yet stopped asking me, "Pat, I want more. Pat, I want you to come closer. Pat, I want a deeper walk for you." And again, listen, what God is calling me to may not be what he's calling you to. What he's calling you may be different from what he's calling me. He may be asking you to put off things that he's not asking me. He may be asking me to put off things he may not be asking you. Listen, in my journey, I may have giants to conquer. You may have hornets. But what we experience may differ from one another, but the journey is the same in a sense of he wants us to put our eyes on him because he wants to lead us in places that maybe we have never been. And it's always going to be a step of faith for each and every one of us. Verse 5, he goes on to say, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I just love this. Sanctify yourself, because the Lord will do wonders among you. Again, to begin the process, sanctify yourselves, to set apart, to consecrate, to purify. It begins by preparing your heart for what a holy, righteous God wants to do. David said in the Psalms, or he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any way, any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Sometimes for us to experience that abundant life, we need to be emptied of some things within our lives so God can fill us with what he wants. Yet if we're filled with self and pride and sin, those things like Hebrews says that so easily trip us up and beset us that are keeping us from experiencing all that God has for us, man, we're going to fail. So the Lord would say to each one of us, sanctify, set apart. Why? Because God wants to do wonders. God wants to do wonders. But again, he wants the vessel to be yielded. He wants us to be yielded. Listen, when Jacob, Pastor Chet talked a little bit about this last week, when he left Laban and was turning to the promised land with his flocks, his herds, his children, it tells us in Genesis 35 that God said to him, arise and go up to Bethel, which is the house of God, and dwell there. And Jacob said to his household and to all who are with him, hey, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. And if you remember that Jacob, he actually had four wives, but the one he really loved, she was the prom queen. You know, she was a really pretty one. The other one, it says her eyes were like cow eyes, you know, and so that was Leah. But Rachel was the pretty one. But before they left, it says she grabbed all of her dad's like idols and household things, and then she took them. But Jacob didn't know about it. She hid him in a tent, and Jacob didn't know about it. Laban comes, and he can't find him because she was sitting on him and stuff. But then they're moving along, and then obviously Jacob must have seen that Rachel kept these things. And as they're traveling along, finally God comes to him and says, hey, it's time to get right. Let's get right. Let's purify yourselves. It, just like maybe there's some of you who this morning, you just decided, you know what? I've been not right. I've been walking in a place that's, I want to get right. And so you chose to come to church to get right today. And it doesn't matter what I'm saying. You just came to get right with God. And maybe that has already happened through the worship. So you just like sitting and saying, God, I want to get right. But Jacob says, hey, we're going to sanctify ourselves. Let's put away all of those idols. But what I'm think about is that Jacob had allowed for these idols to be a part of their lives. He allowed them to be. Hey, men, what are we allowing to be a part of our lives? What are the idols within our house that maybe God is speaking to you? Hey, some of these things, they need to go. They need to go. And why do they need to go? Because the Lord wants to do wonders among us. I love that promise that God gave to the children of Israel. I will do wonders among you. Do you believe that the Lord wants to do wonders among us? Hey, a few weeks ago on Palm Sunday, we have a little prayer before Sunday morning, 7:30, and Pastor Chet was here. And this is Palm Sunday, right? Palm Sunday is Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it's usually a time of celebration, you know, running around with the palm branches and all this other stuff. And it's just celebrating the King coming into Jerusalem. But I remember that Sunday morning as we were praying, Pastor Chet talked about, you know, I really feel like God wants us just to purify ourselves. He wants us just to get right. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh man, what a bummer, man. I was expecting this great message. Hey, let's just, you know, Hosanna, and let's do all this. But then as I was sitting there and just sensing the Spirit of God moving and working among us. And it's like, yes, Lord. Why? Because he wants to do something incredible in our midst. He wants to do wonders among us. And yet I just love that fact. And is God did incredible, amazing things. He did wonders among us. But it continues on in verse 6. It says, then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, hey, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I like that. I was with Moses, Joshua, and just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. You know, oftentimes at Christmas, we say Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means what? It means God with us. Do you know that God wants to be with us oftentimes way more than we want to be with him? And oftentimes we want God to be with us, but it's on our, you know, the way we want it to be done, not the way that God is saying. But God doesn't work that way. He doesn't work. He says he loves us. He desires to be with us. It's why he sent his only son to be our Emmanuel, God coming and being with us so that we could be with him. David said in Psalms 27, he said, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Jesus said he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, that he would always be with us. God is Emmanuel, God with us. Just like I was with Moses, Joshua, I am going to be with you, confirming that he would be with us. And as we continue on there in verse 8, he says, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Gershonites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, verse 11 says, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you until the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap. And so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan River, Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that's beside Zartan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arba, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over. Listen. Verse 8, it says, you shall stand in the Jordan. Verse 13, as soon as the soles of the feet shall rest in the water. Verse 15, when they dipped in the edge of the water. Listen, those priests that were carrying the Ark, they needed to get into the water. They needed to get into the water. Listen, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, Moses simply reached out his hand and the waters parted and they were able to cross. But at the Jordan River, they're told they needed to get into the water. The Red Sea, in a sense, representing our salvation. All we need to do is reach out and we are saved. Whosoever will, let him come and drink. If you confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Salvation is simply a prayer away. For those of you maybe that showed up to church today and you came just to get right with God, hey, it's really easy. He's a prayer away. Just cry out to him. Confess what the Lord knows about us is true. We're sinners in need of a Savior. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. And God takes care of everything else. 1 John tells us, if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation. It's a big word that simply means the means by which our sins are forgiven, but not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That's salvation, people. It's simply crying out, but for the abundant life, for the abundant life. God does his part, but we have to do our part. We need to step in. We need to get wet. We need to put the soles of our feet in the water. Listen, the Jordan River represents a life of faith, a life that believes that God can do the impossible, that God can do the miraculous. And this is where the abundant life begins for each and every one of us. Because it tells us there in verse 15, it says that the banks of the Jordan were overflowing at this time. Bible scholars say that at when the time of year when the Jordan was overflowing, it could be up to a mile across. They're on this side of the Jordan. They want to go to the other side. There's a mile of water between them and the other side. Listen, they got their kids. They got their families. They got all their stuff. And they're told they're going to simply just walk across the Jordan River. Listen, that's going to take an act of God. That's going to take God doing something miraculous for them to cross over. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And yet I believe personally that the reason that we don't experience that abundant life is we don't believe that God is the God who can do miracles, who can do the impossible. We so often, again, we see with the natural when the Lord is wanting to do work in the supernatural. Think about that woman at the well there in John 4, where Jesus told her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who's asking you to give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. He would give you living water, which made her stop and think, I don't know what living water is, but I think I want it. If you're telling me this is the gift of God, I want it. But we're by a well. The well's deep. You don't have a bucket. You don't have any rope. So how are you going to get that water? She immediately goes to the natural. She immediately goes. Jesus is talking about spiritual things. She can't get past the natural, the bucket and the ropes. Think about it. We do the same thing. God speaks, hey, I want to do something miraculous in your heart, in your life. And then all we see is the bucket and the ropes. And we really don't believe that God is a God who can do the impossible. You think about Nicodemus there in John chapter 3. Again, Nicodemus was one of the rulers of the nation of Israel. And he actually comes to Jesus by night because it's like, I don't want anyone to see me going to him and stuff like that. But he said he knew there was something different about Jesus. And he said to Jesus, hey, no one can do the things you do unless God is with him. And then Jesus, in a roundabout way, told Nicodemus how he could do these things. But Jesus, really speaking more into spiritual, he said, Nicodemus, listen, you must be born again. You must be born again. And Nicodemus kind of was like sitting there like, okay, that went just like this. Listen, if you're sitting here today and I say you must be born again, and you're kind of like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about, Pat. And then, hey, you're just like Nicodemus. And yet Jesus is speaking about the spiritual things. You must be born again. And he says, hey, how can I enter my mother's womb? Am I to be born again a second time? But he was going to the physical when Jesus was talking about the spiritual. I don't understand. Where's the bucket? Where's the rope? How is that going to happen? Again, with man, it's impossible. With God, all things impossible. Do you believe that God can do amazing things, miraculous things that God wants to do wonders in our midst? Listen, oftentimes I'll be sharing and I'll get couples and I'll talk to them, you know, their marriage is a disaster, you know, and things, blah, 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 all this stuff. And yet I'll talk about the hope and that what I believe that God can do, because I've seen God do miracles in people's hearts and lives. I've seen God do miracles of people that, you know, their marriage was a disaster and God bring about healing. I've seen people, last service, we had a woman sitting here and they had told her, you are going to die. And I remember going and seeing her and spending time, and I'm thinking, okay, she's going to die. And then all of a sudden, God flipped a switch or something and chose to keep her alive. And she's even driving to church. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if you should be driving to church, but she's driving to church. And it's like, wow, there are miraculous things that are going on in our midst. And yet I see sometimes I'll be talking and I'll see that glimmer of hope. Yes, I want to believe, I want to believe. And then we kind of get to the end and they're going to start walking out and I see the lights going back on. Yeah, Pat, but the bucket, the ropes, I'm sorry, I just don't understand. What do you mean, born again? I don't get it, because they'll look in the natural. Pat, you just don't understand. You don't know who I'm married to. You don't understand these things. Well, that one rang true. I don't understand, but I know Jesus does, and I have seen him move and work in incredible, incredible ways. Do we believe that God is a God who wants to do wonders among us? You know, on Easter morning at the altar call, I love this because I get to experience this firsthand. I usually am standing up here when Pastor Chet calls people forward. But on Easter, all three services, or four services, yeah, we did, he said the same thing. He said, hey, people, don't ever lose the awe of God doing miracles in our midst. Because to see people kind of stand up and then come forward and allow God to move and work in their hearts, that is a miracle. Thursday night, if you were here, listen, Thursday night service ended and we stayed for another hour worshiping and praying and laying hands on people just so they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are things that God does and the miracles he does in our midst. But do we believe that he can do it? For us today, the abundant life is all about believing a God who wants to do the impossible, who wants to work wonders among us, for us to spend time with the Lord, to keep our eyes on him, to go after the best gifts, desire those things, allow the Lord to take each and every one of us to a deeper place, because that's what he wants, to take us places, listen, that we have never been. I don't know about you, but when Pastor Chet first came and he started talking about, hey, God's gave us a promise, we're gonna win LA. I mean, I remember thinking, man, LA is a big city. I'm not sure how that's gonna work, you know, win LA, okay. But you know what I noticed from him when he first got here? He actually believes that. He actually believes that God's going to do wonders among our midst. And I know for me, sometimes I can doubt. I can doubt what God wants to do. But he doesn't doubt. And then he gets to watch and experience God moving and working in people's hearts and lives. And that's what he wants to do with each one of us. That's what he wants to do in all of our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for your word and the things you've written here in your word. And God, I ask and pray that you, as you promised in your word for the nation of Israel, you want to do wonders among them. And Lord, I believe that those same wonders you want to do today. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, I pray and ask, would you give us eyes of faith? Help us to look beyond the bucket, the rope, Lord, the natural. And help us to believe that you want to do those wonders among us. Maybe you're sitting here today and you need God to do something miraculous in your heart and life. I just want to pray for, just lift up your hand if that's you. If you want God, you need God to do something. Amen. All around the sanctuary, you want God to do something amazing and wonderful. Father, you see every one of these hands. Lord, I pray and ask, would you fall upon them? Would you be with them? Would you encourage them, Lord? God, would they sense your presence and would they be able to watch you do something amazing, wonderful in their midst? Do a wonder for each and every one of us here today, God. And then we would testify of that work that you have done. And Lord, we do thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people agree by saying, amen.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you have any questions or just want to check us out, make sure to visit us at ccsouthbay.org. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.